Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Want to talk about a new movie?
Check.
Want to talk about an older movie similar or related to that new movie?
Check.
That's what you can expect from Quality Check Podcast.
It's a new podcast on the Studio DNA Network hosted by yours truly, Drew Douglas and
Daniel Posey. Every other Tuesday, we'll talk about a new movie and an old movie to see how the film's quality holds up.
Hello, sir. How are you?
Pulse FM and the Studio DNA Podcast Network present What Else with Corey Mann. Hit subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts or visit the archives on Apple, Spotify, or Google Play. Part of the Studio DNA Podcast Network.
He's new to me, but he's been around for a while. My guest is singer-songwriter Andrew Rip. I'm excited about this. I'm a new fan to your work.
Wow. I'll tell you this. If you've looked back at my stuff, I've been doing this for a long time. I know what it feels like to release music, and I know what it feels like when there's, you know, a response that feels genuine and people are connecting to specific songs. And I've been feeling that in the last few weeks. So that's always exciting. I've been living in the singer-songwriter kind of pop world, you know? And taking my music as a writer into more of the faith-based space, which is who I am as a human, this is a whole new kind of experience for me as a musician, being a part of the Christian music world. I'm learning as I go. I've been around for a long time, but I'm totally brand new to this, so it's nice.
Well, let's hit record and let's get after it. You good?
Yeah, let's roll. All of my fears, like Jericho walls, gotta come down.
Who told you you could sing?
My mama.
And you believed her?
She kind of busted me. I was in the back of the minivan on the way to soccer practice.
Listening to some B96 and Palatine?
How do you know about B96?
Born and raised in St. Joe, Michigan, right across the lake. So B96, yeah. WLS, The Loop. I'm with you, brother.
Well, we were listening. It might have been B96, but it was Mariah Carey. Would they have played Mariah Carey?
Dream Lover? Oh, yeah.
Always Be My Baby, Dream Lover, dude. I don't know which song it was. I'm pretty sure it was. It was one of those two because those were the hits. But I'm in the back of the minivan, and I'm just, my voice hadn't totally changed yet. You know what I mean? And I was wailing, trying to, you know, keep up with Mariah, which is like impossible. And I certainly wasn't, but I was showing signs that I might have a voice. My mom was like, whoa. And I was like, what? She's like, you can sing. And I'll never forget it.
She was being serious. Did she pour fuel on that fire? Did she push you into school productions, into choir? Did she get you a guitar? What happened?
Yeah, that's a good question. I grew up at Willow Creek Church in Chicago, and that was her connection to anybody that was in the music world at all, was anybody on the worship team. So it was a gentleman by the name of Scott Dyer, who was kind of the worship pastor there, and she just went to him and said, hey, I think my son can sing. Will you listen to him? Can I bring him in and just have him sing you a song? And I was terrified, but we went to his office one day, and either one of those Mariah Carey songs that I sang for him, or I remember loving the song Desperado by the Eagles. That song is so good. And when my parents got a piano put into the house, I remember that was one of the first songs that I just sat down and kind of tried to pick it out on the piano. So it was one of those three tunes. It might actually have been the Mariah Carey stuff, because we're in the era where I was still learning that I had a voice. I don't think the piano was in the house yet. So I bet you it was Dream Lover that I sang for Scott. And he basically, you know, he was like, this is really good. He gave me $1 to go to the vending machine so he could talk to my mom without me there. And he told my mom that I thought I was just going to be like, yeah, it's nice, but he can actually sing. And it's actually really exciting because I feel like it's a gift that the Lord gave him. So I remember being really encouraged by that as a young kid. You know, it's like singing is a vulnerable thing. Your voice when you're young is kind of a vulnerable thing. And at that age, not having anyone around me, it was kind of strange, but he just encouraged it, you know, it was good. It was good for me. Baseball was really my jam. Grew up in a family where dad was really a sports guy, just put a lot of energy into us becoming athletic. He wanted me to be able to go to school later on in the years. So he was just like, we've got to find a way for you to be able to get to college. And I know I'm not probably going to be able to afford it.
I was watching one of your rock music videos really closely, and you're singing in a church with a bunch of people, and you're singing a very spirited song. But Andrew, I couldn't get past the fact that you were wearing a Chicago Bears baseball hat. And that's when I knew you and I will either be friends.
That's my heart. Chicago is where I'm from. Chicago Bears 85. I mean, one of my favorite movies, Christmas Vacation. You got Clark W. Griswold with that hat on, and you better believe that's where I found it. I was like, I need that exact hat, that blue corduroy with the Bears right on the front. Come on, dude. Yeah, I'm 100%. I can't, you know, when you grow up with your team, the Bears, and you got players like Walter Payton and Mike Singletary that totally changed your life watching them, just like these superheroes. I'll never change that. You know, I live in Tennessee, but I'm a Bears fan.
Born and raised in Palatine?
Yep, born and raised in Palatine. Didn't leave Palatine until after high school. So yeah, my whole upbringing was there.
My radio hero, Larry Lujack, lived in Palatine while working at WLS. That might have been before your time, but...
Wow.
Ted Nugent is from Palatine?
No way. How did I not know that?
Do you also have a medieval times dinner and tournament at Palatine?
I've been down that street, bro. It's a fun show.
Have you ever jousted during dinner yourself?
I have not, but you know what, man? There's nothing like the smell of horse manure while you're trying to enjoy a meal, right?
I think that's their new slogan for 2021.
I think it should be. That's hilarious.
I grew up across the lake. I actually was on staff at a smaller megachurch, Granger Community Church, which looked to Willow for leadership, and there was a kinship and a friendship between our pastors. But you grew up in that culture.
I did. Yeah, my parents did not grow up in around the church or they didn't have any faith in that regard until being introduced to Willow Creek. And the culture was really good to be around. You know, there was people that are still in my life that really kind of, you know, there's a difference between when you go to church and then there's a relationship and there's actual fruit in your life. And what I'm really thankful for is my parents had surrounded themselves with some people that really had genuine relationship and fruit in their life. So later on in life, when I went through some things that I'm sure we'll get to in this conversation, I had some folks to call. And so I'm really thankful for that place. I'm thankful for Willow, and I'm thankful for the people that stepped up in my life when I was a kid. You know, I certainly wouldn't be talking to you today if it wasn't for them.
The name Ryan Cabrera is in your past.
It is. Yeah. There was a moment when I got through high school, and then a few of my friends moved to California to go to Azusa Pacific, which is a Christian college private school in Azusa, California. And I just remember being really jealous because I wanted to go out there, but I wasn't in position to be able to go to school there. My whole ticket to California was this dream of becoming a musician. I remember right after high school, kind of feeding off the last conversation we just had, a couple that my parents would hang out with all the time at Willow Creek Church just so happened to be Mike and Kim Singletary, which Mike Singletary is the Chicago Bear. So growing up in Chicago, being around, they were some of my parents' best friends. So we'd go on vacation with them and their kids. I grew up with their kids, and watching Mike and his relationship with the Lord and his kind of fame and watching him navigate that, it was just always really inspiring to me. So after high school, when I was considering kind of following my dream, that nobody around me had this musical gift, but I'm like, I have to do something with this. And my friends are in California, but I don't know anybody in the industry. Mike came to mind. So I called him. I called him right after high school. And I was like, it's a strange question, you know. He knew that I played music because I would always be at their house playing the piano and singing, and he would always be really encouraging. So I called him up. I'm like, hey, I've written a few songs. I feel like I'm supposed to do this. I don't know anybody in the industry. Is there anyone that you know in the music industry? We're going to go over to Richard Mark's house, north side of Chicago. Richard's going to listen to you play some music. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is insane. I've got three songs. They're half done. This is going to be a train wreck, but I'm stoked because finally it's an opportunity here where I might be able to connect with somebody in the industry.
For those who don't know who Richard Marx is, this guy came out in the mid 80s and his first album had five top five singles. Five singles.
Including Wherever You Go, Whatever You Do, I Will Be Right Here Waiting For. I mean, come on, everybody knows that one.
Wherever you go, whatever you do, I will be right here waiting for you. Whatever it takes.
So you get to go to this guy, to Richard's house? Do you perform? Yep. Do you do this?
I remember walking into his house. I also remember Mike, before we walked in, we just prayed together, and it was a very simple prayer. He just said, Lord, if this is the door Andrew's supposed to walk through, I pray that you open it. And if it's not, I pray that you just lock it shut. And we walked through those doors, met him and his sweet wife. We walked back into the studio, you know, one of those long hallways with all the awards. And it was just so intimidating. I'm just like, my voice is had just stopped changing. So I'm still kind of squeaky and I'm so nervous and just beat red. And he sits me down in this piano room in the studio, grand piano in the center. It's a round room, all wood. So just the acoustics were just gorgeous. And Mike actually had two of his kids with us because he's got seven kids and you can't leave seven kids with one person. So I sit down at the piano and he leaned over the piano, probably 2 feet from my face. And he's like, show me what you got. And I'm sitting there just like shaking in my boots. I squeaked this song out barely. But at the end, he was like, I'll never forget him saying this because it was so encouraging. He said, I was going to tell you to move to California and let you kind of figure this out for yourself. But I really think I can help you here. So I'd love to write some songs with you. And I'd love to kind of help you find the right deal and see where this thing leads. That was kind of the end of that meeting for me. Everything else was a blur from that point on. I remember walking out that day and Mike just kind of looked at me and smiled. He was like, man, we just ran through that door, didn't we? And it was just such a magical moment. But, you know, over the course of the next 3-4 months, I had written a couple songs with him and he wound up releasing a record where his life just got super busy. So after a while of kind of waiting around, which is no disrespect to him, I mean, he did everything he could to give me his time. And it was really encouraging what he said. But I wound up moving to California. I was like, if he was going to tell me to go to LA, maybe I should go out there. So I loaded up my car and did the thing, man. Mercury Topaz somehow made it 2,000 miles through those mountains. When I got there is when I started to realize, like, talk about small fish in a big pond. I don't care how good you are, how much talent you have. When you go to California, and you're in LA, like the center of entertainment world, music world, it was just eye-opening because everybody could sing as good as I could. I wasn't in Palatine anymore where I could just kind of jump up on the stage and wow people. It was like, oh yeah, I can sing too. You know what I mean? So suddenly I'm like, wow, this is a wild situation. But I kind of scraped together a few of my songs. And I remember this moment where I had gotten word that this gentleman named Ryan Cabrera, who was currently kind of pushing his first single called On the Way Down. He was on like MTV climbing the charts. He was on all these reality shows with Ashley and Jessica Simpson and kind of in that world. So I'd seen him and recognized him and knew his song. And I was like, wow, while I was writing these songs, thinking, I feel like Ryan, these could be really good songs for him. A friend of mine heard that he was going to be at the Viper Room one night, which is a club on the Sunset Strip. And I was like, I'm going to print out 5 of my best songs. I'm going to write my number and my name on a CD, and I'm going to go give it to him. So, I mean, talk about like just a lame move. Like, you don't do that, but let me tell the rest of the story. I'm glad I did. So I walk into the Viper Room that night. I see Ryan and a good friend of his sitting at the bar area. And I walked up. As I was walking up, Ryan left the bar and went to the bathroom. So I walked up to his friend and I handed his friend the CD. I said, hey man, I'm a songwriter. I've got 5 songs here. If I give this to you, will you listen to it? And he's like, absolutely, man. So he took my record, my little demo CD. And as I was walking away, I basically like turned back around. I said, hey, my number's on there. So just like, make sure that if you dig what you hear, give me a call. I'd love to, you know, be a part of what you guys are doing. I'm not kidding. 2 hours later, my phone rings and it's Ryan on the other line singing the first song that was on that demo CD called Shine On, which was the first single on his second record.
Given every moment I had, so I can never seem to keep up with you. You're done with 1 mile and on to another 1,000. So I can never seem to keep up with you.
I'm pretty sure that's the only story that has ever happened like that in the history of Hollywood.
Yeah, it almost feels like a prank call. Like, let's call this little goober and sing one of his songs to him and get him all worked up and then we'll hang up the phone. But
yes.
I kind of feel like praying. Don't know what I'm saying. Been so long. I don't feel like crying. I've crossed the line and I can't find home. If anybody hears me, then you can undo the things I've done. They drag me down to the river. Throw me in. I ain't talking about the shallow, no, but the deepest end. Push me down and hold me under. Don't let me breathe till you know I'm good and ready for you to rescue me.
Kind of feel like praying. Don't know what I'm saying. It's been so long. Kind of feel like crying. I've crossed a line. I can't find home. But if anybody hears me and you can undo the things I've done, my friend, those are some raw words. But I think you were speaking from a very personal place.
Yes. You know, when you've lived a pretty hard life away from connection with God, and you just kind of running to things like alcohol and girls and whatever to find your purpose and to get you through, you wind up with a lot of pain and you wind up really busted, especially when it comes back around and then you meet the Lord one day and you're like, oh my gosh, this has been there. You've been here the whole time. I just haven't been tuned into your voice and I haven't had the strength to, you know, follow what you've been doing in my life. It's just been me running from pain. it's my therapy. It's the way that I get through things. And I, that was me just kind of like working out an emotion and a sadness, knowing that I had been forgiven for the things I'd done, but writing, "Can you undo the things I'd done?" just was good and healing for my soul in that moment. I write from that place a lot. And I think now, having gone through a lot of my past story, I'm stepping in now to hope, which I think is why I'm just now stepping into the Christian music scene, because I don't want to listen to somebody sing lament songs all day long. I want one or two lament songs on a record, and then I want to get to hope. I want to get to, we're going to make it. And I think that's where I'm at as a human being, which is coming out in my art. I know I'm going to make it because I've been through the stuff, and I know that he's been there the whole time. So that's what comes to me when we talk about Rescue Me. It was such a healing song to write.
Super personal question. Here it comes.
Hit me.
How many years sober?
We're working on 13. So I'm 12. I'm 12 and a half. 12 years, 9 months sober. Big deal.
Yeah.
Changed my life.
Was it lifestyle that pushed you into that, let's call it an addiction? Or was it just, can you spot the origin?
Well, I mean, I come from a long line of generational bondage there. We use alcohol to escape reality of what's happening in our lives because we don't know if we have the strength to push through and look pain in the eyes. That's really what the deal has been for me. I mean, I'll tell you this, looking back to the early 2000s, when I was in California and I was using, in a strange way, and this might come off weird, but like, it's just the truth. I'm kind of thankful for it because I wasn't ready to look pain in the eyes. And it got me through some things that without the Lord, which I didn't know how to access his voice and live in a righteous way. It was the thing that got me through some really difficult times. Now, it wasn't healthy. And now that I'm stepping into my 12th, almost 13th year of sobriety, I can see that if I would have been bold enough to consider my addiction back in the day, I might be in a whole different place and it might be even better. I might even be better for it. But I'll tell you this, those early years of walking through pain, I don't know if I would have made it without that. Is that a weird thing to say?
I have become a believer, Andrew, in everywhere you and I are in our lives. Right now, I am supposed to be right here doing this. Everything that I've done has led me to this. Everything you have done has led you to this in this moment. So, yeah, you're supposed to say that. You are.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, it does make sense. It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I'm going to sing a little song to you.
Yes, please.
If I leave here tomorrow, would you still remember me? Why would you name your daughter after that song?
I knew where you were going with this. And how sweet. So here's the deal. I'll just fill your listeners in. My wife and I adopted our beautiful daughter. Her name is Frances Ava. Rip, almost 2 years ago. I start looking up kind of the origin of the names and what they mean. Turns out Francis means free and Ava means bird. So every time anybody at a show requests free bird, where I used to be like, come on, man. I'm like, thank you, sir. Just reminded me of my beautiful daughter, you know?
Let's talk about the queen for a moment. How is she?
She's wonderful. She's with her grandma right now. Grandma watches her a couple days a week and gives us a little bit of time to get some work done. She's awesome. You know, my wife and I went through a 5-year process of trying to start a family, which has always been a dream of ours and wasn't working out the way we'd kind of dreamt it up in our heads. So it led us through this process of, honestly, we went through a lot of fertility stuff, trying to figure it out. Why is this not working? What the heck is going on? Meanwhile, everybody around us is having kids. So it was just really intense to celebrate with friends who are getting the victory we had been contending for. I mean, that's not easy to do, but we learned a lot through the process. And after 5 years of it, we wound up getting a phone call from an adoption agency that we hadn't signed up with. We weren't in the process of waiting for an adoptive situation to come up. We were actually still kind of figuring out what we wanted to do as a couple and as a family. And we get this phone call from an adoption agent who basically said, hey, there's a baby about to be born about an hour north of Nashville, high school couple. For some reason, you guys came to mind. And I feel like it might have been the Holy Spirit asking me to call you. I was off writing a song that day. My wife got the phone call. My wife decided she didn't call me. She didn't want to derail my whole day, as you know, in the midst of writing a song. Do you want to put our name in for this? I'm like, so she just decided to do it. So when she hung up the phone with the adoption agent, social worker, she basically put together like a 10-page final exam report of who we are, what we look like, what we're all about, and submitted it. So when I walked in that evening after my songwriting session, my wife's sitting on the couch, just surrounded by like pictures and paper. And I'm like, what is going on? And she's like, oh, by the way, yeah, this is what happened. And I was like, it was amazing. The sense that just the peace that surrounded the moment, like that's a pretty intense moment in anybody's life, but the whole process was peaceful. And that was the beginning of it. So maybe a week goes by, and this was right before Thanksgiving, 2018, maybe 5 days before Thanksgiving, 2018, we get a phone call saying, not only did they choose you, but they don't want to meet with anybody else. Now we've got 2 days before we leave for Thanksgiving family vacation with our family up in upstate New York. And we've got 2 days to meet the birth parents and do a home study, which usually takes like 6 months. So we've got 48 hours to complete these things. We're like, all right, let's do it. So we drove up the next morning, met the birth parents, had a beautiful time with them. We had the opportunity to pray over them and left that day just super encouraged. Like either way, we were just like, these guys are amazing. It was just beautiful. So then social worker showed up at our house the next day and started the home study. But when she walked through the door, she handed us the phone with a text message on it from the birth mom saying, we want to continue to move forward. We love them. Like, let's do this. It was an incredible moment in our lives. We flew to New York pretty much immediately after we began this home study with the social worker. And this is not even a fabrication by any means, but we get a text message while we're eating Thanksgiving dinner. Baby came early. She was born while we were eating Thanksgiving dinner, 2018. So we got on a plane, red eye, got home immediately, stopped at a friend's house, picked up a car seat and some diapers, and went to the hospital. That was it.
I bet you can't wait to tell her that story when she gets old enough to understand.
Yeah. You know, Carly and I were walking through some of that yesterday, just talking through it. Sometimes we just jump in our car and we take what we call dream cruises. And on dream cruises, we just dream and we talk about things that require more attention to one another. And we were talking about that. It's just like, as beautiful as that moment is and as beautiful as adoption is, we're just talking about like how to invite the Lord into helping us navigate the pain that goes along with it. Because one day she's going to have to work through some emotions. That makes me sad, but it also makes me really happy knowing that she's in a really good place. You know, like we're going to do our best to raise her well and give her the tools to kind of deal with those emotions. But it's that adoption is so beautiful and so painful too. So we're trying to hold both of those elements and walk through it gracefully, you know?
If you listen to the radio station iPilot, you've heard Andrew's songs, Rescue Story by Zach Williams, the new song Sparrows by Corey Asbury. You had pencil to paper on that. But then we hear your voice on this amazing song that is growing on me every time I hear it, to the point where I don't know the words enough yet to sing along with it wholeheartedly. But I love that. You know, that kind of whatever.
Yes.
But I love Jericho. I love what it's doing in my heart.
Ooh, I've been stacking up the years I spent trading punches with the enemy. Ooh, built myself a double-thick stone tower, less high than the eye can see. Trapped in my flesh and bone, crying out to you, Lord, I'm desperate. Love, come rattle this cage and set me.
Story behind this song. That'll be our final stop in this conversation.
Sometimes songs happen by a very specific idea that hits you in a moment where you're like, oh, that's dark, and you just get blasted with an idea. Or you're singing in the shower and it just happens. Jericho was not like that. I didn't have an idea walking into the songwriting session that day with my friend Ethan Hulse, who I co-wrote this song with. Usually there's some sort of kind of like element of this is where we want to go today. Wasn't the case that day. So what I did is I sat down at the piano and without thinking about it, I just start singing. And whatever comes flying out, very similar to what you just did with my chorus, you know, it was just like this beautiful divine moment where you just skiddly-doozed your way. That's kind of what it sounds like. But every now and again, you can make out a word that came flying out without you thinking about it. So at some point in that moment, I screamed the word Jericho, and we both knew something was on it. We knew that story needed to come out in a song. How do you talk about that in a song? What is it? Do we actually pull out the, you know, biblical story and talk specifically about these moments, or do we use it as an inspired, oh, wow, like the walls crumbling down. What a beautiful picture of what fear has to do in the name of Jesus. When we recognize what fear is and we surrender to the victory we already have, fear has to, it has to bow. So I really liked that idea. And Jericho is our best, just our best kind of swing at that thought.
You're on the front end of this journey, and I love that the door is open now with this song. I want to tell you very specifically, make sure you are doing what God has specifically wired you to do. You can take all the manager's advice and all of a record label's advice and all of a radio team's advice, but you have to maintain what he has specifically designed you to do. I feel like you know that you serve the God of creativity, so how dare we put our hand to him and allow this other stuff to happen? So make sure,
right.
Make sure you are being you. All right, Andrew Rip, I feel good about this. I'm going to celebrate in my own weird way that you are dear friends with Iron Mike Singletary. I mean, I love that now I can tell somebody I know a guy that knows a guy. I feel great about that.
Corey, I really like you, bro. I hope we get to hang one day.
Yes. Oh, we will. Oh, we will.
Yes.
And when the Bears are in the Super Bowl, expect your phone to ring. And
dude, I feel like we're supposed to break out into song right now.
I know.
Just spontaneous worship.
Bears will win the pandemic bowl. It's gonna happen.
The pandemic bowl. Oh my God.
Could have had Mahomes. Could have had Mayfield, but we got Trubisky and the best that you got. And yeah. I just don't know.
You've been listening to What Else with Corey Mann, part of the Studio DNA Podcast Network. Production elements and voiceovers by audiblegenesis.com. Find complete podcast tools and production at audiblegenesis.com. Find this podcast and older episodes on Apple, Spotify, and iHeartRadio. Hit the subscribe button so you never miss an episode. Leave a comment or review, tell a friend, and thank you for listening.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.